What is Paul talking about when he says baptized for the dead?
Do you want to understand the Bible, but you're confused? You've come to the right place. This is Tough Bible Questions on Timothy Talks, where I'm going to work through answers to your questions about the tough, challenging, and sometimes flat-out weird sections of the Bible.
Welcome back to Timothy Talks, Season 4, Tough Bible Questions. My name is Daniel Pentamone, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Today we've got a really tough Bible question, one of the most challenging passages in the New Testament, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 26 through 29. Paul is talking about resurrection, and in verse 29, after talking about the last enemy being destroyed is death, verse 29 he says, "What do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf?" Well, this is one of those really tough questions. What in the world is Paul talking about when he talks about baptized for the dead? And I mean, I've been trying to delve deep into those tough Bible questions for you, get all the answers that I can on some of the most difficult Bible passages, but this one really stumped me. So because it stumped me so much, I decided to bring in an expert on this. Well, let me just introduce to you Dr. Brett Kopranica, and I am really excited to have him here. He's my pastor, and when I say that I brought in someone who knows a lot about this, I say that because he's been preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I've really enjoyed learning more about the book of 1 Corinthians, and since he's been studying through that passage of Scripture, I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to just take some time to ask him some questions about that passage. So glad to have you with us today.
It's great to be with you, Daniel, an expert on baptism from the of the dead. I don't know about
Well, how much can you know about it? It's a tough thing, and there's lots of different theories on that. So
that's for sure.
Either way, though, you've certainly been in the book of 1 Corinthians, so you've got a little bit of a foundation for what Paul's talking about in the context of that.
Sure.
So I'm really glad to have you here, and I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to just ask you maybe to start out, maybe you can just provide a little context behind what's going on in this passage, and sort of, just give us the context of what brings Paul to this point.
Well, I think 1 Corinthians 15 is probably the pinnacle point of the whole book. It's the primary theological issue going on in the church in Corinth. I mean, we think about 1 Corinthians, and there's so many problems that go on in this church. But this is probably the high point, because it's here that Paul really is addressing their view of the gospel and some of the false views that might be going on in the church that are challenging a right view of the gospel. And that seems to center around a challenge among the Corinthians to the idea of physical resurrection from the dead. Perhaps that comes from a pre-Gnostic idea that was floating around in the church that the material world is evil, and so there couldn't be a physical resurrection from the dead because you would be resurrecting into something that was evil. So they spiritualized the resurrection. That's a real possibility, or they somehow were denying physical resurrection. And Paul says that's dangerous, because now you're denying the resurrection of Christ, and if Christ isn't raised, then you're in your sins. And so that's the basic framework for chapter 15. And why it's so dangerous is because it strikes at the very heart of the gospel.
So this passage right here, uses this phrase baptized for the dead, and a lot of different people have given lots of different ideas for what that means.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the big ideas that have come out of that?
Well,
different theories about what that means.
When I was reading through a number of commentaries, one particular commentator noted there are at least 40 different views that have been chronicled of what this means, and then there are sub-ideas under each one of those 40 ideas. So to say anyone knows what this means is almost ludicrous, because scholars have been wrestling with this forever. I think at the very forefront, we want to say what it doesn't mean, what it can't mean, is probably the idea of proxy baptism, where someone is being baptized on behalf of another person who has already died. So that's classically seen in Mormon theology today. You can go on the website for Mormonism or for the Mormon Church, And there'll be a host of articles that you can read about proxy baptism, baptism on behalf of dead people. And yet there's only one verse in the New Testament that talks about it. They have a host of ideas where if someone has departed and now they are a spirit being, that someone on earth who's a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints can be baptized on their behalf, and perhaps that spirit being will exercise their free will wherever they are and accept that baptism that you accomplished on their behalf. That's the basic idea behind proxy baptism. And you can actually find a couple of references to something similar in the second century. It was noted the Marcionites were doing something similar to that, but that was noted as a heretical group. The Montanists also were noted to be doing something similar to this based on this verse. But again, all those groups were marked as heretical and outside of Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah, and I've even seen one of the baptismal places where the Mormons actually do that. So what about this text leaves that as such an unlikely option?
Well, that's based on a whole other set, a whole different set of presuppositions about what the gospel is and what it means to be redeemed and how that's accomplished. You have to read a lot of theology into this one verse to make it say that. I do think the most straightforward reading of the verse speaks of people who are being baptized on behalf of those who have passed away. So it's not as if that's not, you know, a viable idea that Paul is addressing. Whether Paul affirms that idea or not is the challenge. And does the rest of the New Testament affirm that that's a possibility? I think that the rest of the New Testament obviously says no. That's not a legitimate Orthodox possibility. But that's the straightforward reading of that verse. To attach an entire theology to it, you have to do a lot more than what this verse gives us, though.
Yep. And with 40 different ways to interpret it, Probably should be careful before you attach a theology to it.
I think Gordon Fee, in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, noted the straightforward reading of this is that somebody's being baptized on behalf of a dead person. There are 40 different views and as many subpoints under all of those views because it doesn't fit with anything else in the New Testament to say that this is legitimate. So therefore, what would Paul mean by it?
Yeah. So in just a minute here, we're going to try to get to what actually is the meaning. But first of all, take just a minute, listen to this, and we'll be right back.
Now it's your turn. This season at Timothy Talks, the goal is to answer your tough Bible questions. So, do you have a tough Bible question? If so, email it to timothytalkspodcast@gmail.com. That's timothytalkspodcast@gmail.com. Plus, every time you send a tough Bible question, you'll get a chance to win a Bible study resource of your choice so that you can understand the Bible even better. We might devote a whole podcast episode to answering your tough Bible question.
And welcome back. So continuing to talk about baptism for the dead, what does that mean? And with Dr. Kapranica here, already heard there's over 40 different possibilities for what that could mean. So Dr. Kapranica, what in your view, is maybe the top one or two choices for what this actually means?
You know, in thinking this through, I come down to there are two views that seem viable in my mind. One view that tries to read this as something legitimate, another view that Paul is addressing something happening that he doesn't necessarily affirm. He simply notes that it is occurring and that it's evidence that people strongly believe in a physical resurrection. So the first view that I think might look at this as a viable possibility, it takes the term the dead in verse 29, on behalf of the dead, being baptized on behalf of the dead. The dead always seems to refer to the dead who are awaiting resurrection, in this context particularly, and in 1 Corinthians. And the term on behalf of could actually be translated as because of. And so it could be that there are some people who have become Christians because of the witness of others who have passed on. And they're being baptized as a sign of their conversion on behalf of the testimony, the witness of someone who has gone before them, has passed on, but their witness to the gospel was so profound it was foundational to their Christianity. And so I think that's a possible, it's not the clearest straightforward reading of the text, but it is a possibility. I think the other view that I think is most viable here is that Paul is speaking about something that he didn't actually recognize or affirm, but he's simply saying this is taking place. People are being baptized on behalf of the dead who are awaiting resurrection. And that could be very possible because we know from what we learn in 1 Corinthians that the Corinthian church had a very mystical view of the ordinances. The Lord's Supper, he references that in chapter 10 and chapter 11, that they had a very mystical, wrong-headed view of the Lord's Supper, almost a magical view of what it would accomplish. And perhaps they had a similar magical, mystical view of baptism as well, and were attaching, perhaps because of syncretism with the culture around them, they're attaching other views to this, trying to meld them together with Christian views. In other words, it was held so strongly by some in the church, which Paul is referring to, there are some in your midst who are actually baptizing others on behalf of the dead because they believe so strongly in a resurrection, a physical resurrection. So what are you going to say to that? Because there's some who are doing that. He doesn't necessarily affirm it, and he doesn't necessarily correct them in that. He just alludes to it and as a possibility of what's happening in their midst. And it's a sign that some were behaving in such a way that affirmed a solid view of physical resurrection.
So that second option then would basically be sort of a proxy baptism,
yes,
itself, mm-hmm. And maybe these people being baptizing people in the thinking perhaps that if they're not baptized, they can't be resurrected or something like that? Or,
well, the rationale behind it, who knows, yeah, as to what is doing it, why they're doing it, but it's taking place. And again, we wish that Paul would have either corrected it or he would have said a little bit more about it, but he just dropped this little bomb on us and moved on. And so that's why we have all these views, and that's why we have other theologies attached to it. But I think, in my mind, that's probably the most viable view because it's the most straightforward reading of the text, that proxy baptisms were taking place. I don't think he would affirm them because there's so much of what he writes elsewhere, and including in this letter, that would not affirm proxy baptism as legitimate. But he does say, this is happening, and there's a host of people who believe in physical resurrection. How can you deny it? Some who are even in your midst.
Mm. So that was my question. My next question was going to be, of these two, then, which one would you see as the...
Well, I lean towards that second just because it's more straightforward reading. It'd be nice if the first one worked, you know, because it's a more orthodox viewpoint. But I like he does in a number of other places, he's acknowledging something that is happening, even though he would not necessarily affirm it. Mm-hmm. And there isn't anything else in the New Testament anywhere that speaks to this subject whatsoever. So to believe that there was any legitimate view of proxy baptism with something so critical to the Christian faith as baptism, and this is the only reference we have, it's really hard to believe that this would be legitimate. I think this is a passing reference from Paul.
Yeah. So one of the things we've been talking a lot about on Timothy Talks, working through tough Bible questions, though, is using the context to try to understand, get all the clues from the context. So this would be a particularly challenging verse because there's none of that context. I mean, there is context, but that context isn't helping very much in this particular
verse. Yeah, I think part of the context you're looking at here is the Corinthian church is so theologically messed up. Mm-hmm. That's part of the context. And so it's not out of the realm of possibility that they held some very unorthodox views. He's actually saying here, you're denying the gospel. by denying physical resurrection. So there's an unorthodox view that exists there. We know they had mystical views of things like the Lord's table, and we know they had very mystical, wrongheaded views about spiritual gifts. They had mystical, wrongheaded views about the angels and spirituality in general. So this is likely, reading from the context, another such idea that was existent there that Paul is addressing.
Mm. Yeah, and that really helps understanding that whole context behind Corinth to see that as a possibility. But otherwise, like you said, there's not much else about there's baptism.
Nothing else. That's just it. Even reading through some of the material from the Mormon church, they acknowledge there isn't anything in the New Testament about this, and yet they have pages of material about it. You have to add so much to concoct a doctrine about it that would try to prove legitimate.
Hmm. Well, so summarizing then, we've seen all these different possibilities, these two as the most likely, and probably this idea that they're just doing their own thing as probably the most best option. What would you say, do you think there's any practical application we can get from this verse, or like how can this impact our lives, or what does this verse do for us as Christians today? Any thoughts on that?
It sure makes us study our Bible a lot more carefully because, there it is and you have to wrestle with it. I think he throws it out there because there are a group of people who believe so strongly in physical resurrection that they're actually doing this. They're baptizing people on behalf of the dead. And Paul just plucks that out as an argument to say, even other people believe in physical resurrection, as wrongheaded as it might be. So how can you deny it? I don't think it's the fail-safe proof that he pulls out. He's simply acknowledging it. It's just another plank in the argument that even people in the greater culture can recognize things that are true theologically, even if they misuse them. And he pulls it out as a potential weight for the argument. Physical resurrection shouldn't be denied.
Well, that's very helpful to understand this passage, so thank you for your thoughts on that. And since I said that you're an expert on baptism, I mean, I should just clarify that you are the pastor of a Baptist church, right?
So, and we don't do proxy baptisms.
So you've got something there. Yeah. Baptism,
right,
yes.
Right. I should know something about the subject, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, yes, here at Summit Woods Baptist Church in near Kansas City, Missouri. So, but it's been great to have you. Thank you for your thoughts on this very tough question. And as always, it's fun to delve into these things. And
yes, thank you, Daniel, for picking me for this particular one. I really, really appreciate
that. I knew you were up for the challenge.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much. And as always, thank you, listeners, for joining Timothy Talks as I'm answering tough Bible questions, and I invite you to join me next week. I'm intending to answer this really tough question: are Bible numbers accurate? There's so many Bible numbers that you look at them and you're like, wow, that's a huge number. How can that possibly be accurate? So join me next week. If you've not already, let me invite you to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed today's show, it would mean so much if you shared it with your family and friends. So thank you so much for listening, and God bless.